You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
I like happy things like puppies and rainbows and dead enemies.
And Daryl.
Ooh, deep thought. Head hurts now.
Greetings and welcome to episode 124 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on April 12th, 2016. My name is Rob, and I finally saw Batman versus Superman. And anybody who hates it is dumb, because it was pretty good. Except for, Zack Snyder? He kind of wrecked it. But Ben Affleck did a great job. Spoilers, Ben Affleck was actually really good. I think he did a good job, and I look forward to seeing him do more. That's not even what we're talking about tonight, huh?
No.
This evening, it is all Brightwing all the time. But before we get to that, Daryl, how are you doing tonight?
Me, I'm doing good. I am doing good. I'm back from Mexico. I'm all rested and getting back into the swing of things around home here. And now that all the snow is gone and everything, it's revealed the mess of a yard that I have right now with all the leaves that we didn't get cleaned up in the fall. And we had a few windstorms, so there's branches all over the yard. So good times. I'll be cleaning my yard for the next month.
You're going to have another, 3 feet of snow in about a week.
It's not over. It's never over.
If you're wondering why we went the double Brightwing intro, we have a very special guest tonight. If we can give a warm Training Dummies welcome for the one and only Royal Light.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. I loved the intro. That was awesome.
We planned that especially for you, so I'm glad.
Oh, thank you very much.
I know, it was funny is that Daryl messaged me. He's like, don't pick this one. And I'm like, and it was one of the ones that I was looking at, because we have the archive of all the sound bites, and we kind of go through and try and pick out funny ones. But we almost picked the same one. We didn't. We're good. We're doing it.
Yeah, Brightwing's quotes are just the best. A little bit of cute, a little bit of evil. It's a little bit of murder. It's perfect. She's perfect. Nice.
Before we get into the topic tonight, we're going to just talk to you a little bit and get to know you. For anybody who's been living under a rock and has no idea who you are, it's going to be all Heroes of the Storm and esports tonight. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how, what, when you started playing Heroes of the Storm?
Sure. I got into Heroes Alpha through Open Raid. Many of you WoW people might remember that raiding tool, that website. I got in about 2 months after Alpha was available, so toward the beginning of it. At the time, Open Raid was hoping to create some team finding tools for Heroes. That project never materialized, but I enjoyed the game. I didn't get hooked quite yet. I was still raiding a lot in WoW, but when I realized that I just didn't have the time to raid anymore, I found that Heroes really fit me. The fast 20-minute, 30-minute games, I could fit into my limited game time over the hours and nights that I used to put into raiding. It just worked out a lot better. So I picked up Heroes, and I haven't looked back.
I'm not going to lie. I think my wife actually appreciates some of these style games a little more too, because when she's like, oh, I have to go do, I'm going to take a shower, I'm going to paint my nails or do whatever, I don't completely disappear for hours on end. I can actually say, oh, this match is almost over and we can go watch a show after that. Or
yeah, it allows you to have a lot more freedom, where in raiding, it's like, 4 hours tonight, guys, sit down, we got to do this, or 3 hours, or I realize that I haven't been in WoW in a while, but it's a lot more flexible than it used to be.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it isn't so stringent, but it's still, you have to wait on other people, get things together, and, Heroes, it's just you or your friend, and you queue up, do the game. It's just a lot of fun.
So what is the origin of the name Royal Light?
So my middle school sports team name was Royals. and I wanted a unique name. So I took that name and I was trying to think of something that I could put on the end of it. And I thought of Cool Whip and how it has the light version. So I thought I was being super clever, and I took Royal and I took Light and I stuck them together. And I just thought I had something super unique. And then I Googled it years later and found out it's, you know, a Canadian oil company. It's a typewriter. So I wasn't so original after all. But yeah, it's been with me for a very long time.
Well, that works. It still works.
I'm going to give you... Oh, shoot. I don't know if you heard that or not.
I did hear that.
Thunder?
Yeah. There's this, so a crazy storm is supposed to be coming through here. And I just got a text that that they're expecting some of the area around here to lose power. So if I lose
apparently
power,
it arrived.
Right?
Wow. I thought that was some sound effect soundboard thing you accidentally hit. But
geez, man. No, it actually startled me because I was about to ask you. I was about to ask you your favorite role in Hero to play.
Brightwing, of course. And we kind of touched on this a little bit at the beginning, but I roleplay Brightwing on Twitter, and I don't roleplay her that well. I sort of drift in and out of character often, just sort of when it suits me and it's for the moment.
Yeah.
But I think just recently I had alluded to Tracer coming out today, and she's not. So someone said, "Are you toying with me?" on Twitter. And I said, yes. And they responded, "Oh, you're such an evil person." And I said, "No, I'm an evil fairy dragon." So I just like to play around with her personality, her murderous streak, and yet being cute.
Play that off with a Brightwing quote, huh?
Yes, exactly.
So there you go. What is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
I met my husband through gaming. I actually met him in an MMO. Not WoW. So that memory is hard to top. But gaming has been a majority or a large part of my life. I grew up playing games like Gorilla, Nibbles, and Jordan versus Bird. That's Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. And I'm really giving away my age here because this is like...
Well, I know exactly who you're talking 80s. About, so...
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah, Daryl and I are both on the other side of 40 now. So
I think I still have the original Jordan versus Bird gaming box with quarter wheel and everything and the floppy. Yeah, I have it around here somewhere.
That's amazing. How would you compare Heroes to other MOBA style games?
Heroes is so different. It has a really strong focus on team play, whereas other MOBAs, it's a lot more individual play. You have someone who mm-hmm. is the carry, like in Dota and League. And this has given the initial impression that Heroes is really shallow or easy mode, that it doesn't have, you know, the items or the depth that Dota and League have. But this isn't exactly true. If you watch the competitive players and listen to some of the more in-depth analysts like Dreadnought or Grubby, mm-hmm. you see that there's a lot more strategy to this game. You know, there's choices regarding the objectives, whether or not you engage, do you need to soak the lanes now, how are you going to rotate among the lanes in the map, do you go for the boss, do you get really aggressive and head for the core. You know, it's all about these choices you have to make in the game. And so that really adds a lot more depth than people realize.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yep. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hyped are you for Tracer?
Definitely a 10, and I think a lot of people are. She's going to be a game changer, I think. It's sometimes hard to make this call because when you have a hero on paper like we do right now, and then you play that hero in game, it can be really different. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought that Leoric, when they first looked at him, was a not-so-great hero, and then after a little while, they started to realize his potential, and he really dominated there for quite a bit. So what's really going to be the big things about Tracer is she gets her ultimate at level 1. All the other heroes have to wait till 10. No, she gets it at level 1. And then she's going to have incredible mobility capabilities. I mean, people who know Li Ming, and she's teleporting everywhere, or Zeratul, he's blinking all over the place. They pale in comparison to what Tracer gets. She gets blink and recall, and recall is her, you know, a basic ability on her E. She's going to return to her position that she was 3 seconds ago, refill her ammo, cleanse the negative status effects, and gain 1 second of invulnerability while it casts. I mean, that's, she's going to be so hard to pin down. She's going to be very true to her character of zipping all over the place. So I think she's going to be harder to kill than other heroes.
Do you think she's going to fill a role that isn't currently being filled?
For some odd reason, I think she's going to be like Li Ming or Zeratul. If you get them out of position with their escapes gone, they go down. And I think that's going to be the same here. Is she's going to be a squishy. She's not going to be able to take a hit. And that's sort of the trade-off. You have to have a trade-off. You can't have a hero that can do everything. And so I think that's ultimately going to be what her trade-off is if you do catch her, she's going to be in trouble. She's going to go down.
Yeah, sounds about right. Kind of the glass cannon.
Right, exactly.
All right. Most important question that we're probably going to ask tonight or any other night. Camera locked or unlocked?
Well, is this for me personally, just out of curiosity?
No, or? there's a right answer.
Oh, there is? Okay. Well, if you're going to be a competitive player, you need to use both. You want to lock down for team fights because if you're getting knocked back, or you need to stay focused on the action. And other times, switching to unlock is, you know, better for you when you're roaming around. So part of mastering when to be locked or unlocked is part of being one of, you know, a competitive player. Mm-hmm. When people start playing Heroes for the first time, and this is their first MOBA, I always advise keeping it simple. The maps with the objectives and everything that's going on, especially for even players who have experience in LoL, they only do one map. They don't have all these different objectives. Mm-hmm. And you guys or myself, we've been experiencing the maps as they release and we get comfortable with the objectives. It's a lot easier for us every time a new map is released. For a new player, it's all these different objectives. So I suggest having a locked camera for a new player so you can focus on positioning. And for example, you can get Lili. I think she's a great starter hero. She's cheap, only 2,000 gold. So you can have your camera locked. Hold down Q when the team fights are going on so you can keep everyone healed. And you can focus on getting comfortable with the overall flow of the game. Learn the objectives, follow your team, learn what to do, what not to do, the merc camps, the whole nine yards. It's easier to do with a hero like Lili and keeping your camera locked.
I agree. I think she's a real good, at least like getting your feet wet hero.
Yeah. I mean, Lili starts to trail off when you start getting into the upper echelons. But for lower tier, mid tier in Hero League, a lot of people are surprised how well she does. And it's because she is a great overall hero. She just, when you get to the higher echelons, her Q is automatic for those who aren't familiar with her abilities. Mm-hmm. Is you hold down Q and she throws her healing cups to the hero with the lowest health. And in competitive play, you want the ability to be able to say where you want those cups to go. So that's why she starts to trail off at that level. amongst other things, but that's one of the larger reasons.
I know I saw her picked in at least one game during the Heroes of the Dorm, and that team got stomped pretty badly.
She's very susceptible to stuns with her Jugs ult. If you stun her while that's going off, you cancel it. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why she's not the go-to healer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good intro healer, but once you start to get a feel for the game and how it goes, you may want to branch out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No, I asked the most important question, and that was probably one of the best answers I've ever heard, to be honest.
There we go. All right, then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Worst in, thank you. Theory crafter
US. All right, let me try that again. It's actually quieter than I was hoping, but anyway.
This is worst in theory crafter US. Let me start over. Damn it. I screwed up. This is worst theory crafter US Twin Top from How to Priest, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
That guy was so awesome.
I know. We told him we were going to keep it all, too. All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter. And that is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. And myself is at Hend_TTD. All right. So we've got Heroes stuff this evening, as you've already guessed, and esports, which is very relevant right now because the Spring Championships just finished, what was that, 2 weeks ago? And then Heroes of the Dorm just finished up this past weekend. And I must admit, I watched both finals and enjoyed them quite a bit. So anyway, let's. Where do we want to start here? Rob, I'll let you direct her.
I was going to say, to sort of follow up to that, the qualifiers for summer are going on right now. So they're rolling right through this. They're not stopping.
So, okay, then let me skip around with these questions. One of the questions that I put down here was keeping up with esports. And this came up a couple of times when we've been talking about Heroes on previous episodes. How can you keep up with this stuff? What are like some websites and sources and ways to watch these matches besides having to go back and watch them highlight afterwards?
So Reddit is a really great source. Every time there's events going on, there will be a thread about it. However, that isn't very easy to follow. On
yeah, I don't understand
the Heroes,
Reddit.
Yeah, on the Heroes website, there's an esports tab. And if you hit the schedule, you can see by month the Blizzard-sponsored events that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there isn't really a great source for when everything is going on. Like, you know, I have my tournament next first that happens weekly. Mm-hmm. There's no really great list of the weekly tournaments of things like Enter the Storm or Heroes Rising.
Yeah, I was going to say there's some community sponsored events that actually got quite a bit of traction too.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
Yes, there's no one great one-stop shop. And well, there is. It's Reddit, and if you find Reddit confusing, that's unfortunate. But Reddit is really the place.
I don't know, man. Reddit is like the quintessential old school message board of the internet. Like it's there, and you scroll through. It's like checking your email. Well, you see the subject line, and you like it or you don't, and you go in and you read the comments. And
I think what people find it confusing is because it defaults to best, sorting by best. So it doesn't sort by a timeline. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite like your forums message board unless you set up the settings to act like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why people sort of find it confusing initially. But what I wanted to also point out was on the Reddit Heroes of the Storm, various Blizzard employees visit that subreddit. So it really is the place for finding out anything about Heroes rather quickly, and the Blizzard employees will come on. They're marked with a special blue kind of icon that says, you know, Blizzard. So, you know, that's them. And they'll give information about what's going on.
You'll know if a particular topic or a particular post has had a Blizzard employee, because it'll be flagged
right
on the main page, and it'll actually say Blizzard response. So you'll know that, like, they've gone in there and made a comment as well. So if you're trying to watch, you know, what's going on right now, these qualifiers, is the actual official Heroes website, is that the best way to see? Is to go in there and look at the schedule? Is that going to be the most current, up-to-date way to see this stuff?
Well, okay, so Blizzard is very much new to this scene, and they're definitely learning as they go along and improving things. Unfortunately, with today's qualifiers, they didn't come out with the information on where it was going to be streamed until a few hours ago. And so if you were browsing Reddit, there were multiple threads requesting information about what was going to happen with the stream and where it was going to be streamed, who was going to be casting it.
People are craving this stuff. They want it.
Yes.
Like Daryl and I have said many times, like, I want to watch this stuff. Like, my wife goes to work. I put the kids to bed. Dude, I want to watch it. It's awesome.
And if you look at the Blizzard career page, you will see that they're hiring, especially for their esports, because what's currently happening, from what I'm observing, and this is just what I think I'm seeing, this is not anything official or what probably is actually going on, it appears that a lot of the Heroes of the Storm community representatives are doing double duty with the esports. So they're having to do their job with the game, and then they're having to also help out with the esports part of it. Mm-hmm. And really, the esports, that whole thing could be a job in itself.
Oh, yeah.
And so I noticed that they are hiring, they're trying to bring people on. So hopefully, once they get the staff, we won't have issues like this where people are saying, what's happening? We don't know. Now, to be fair, the information on the schedule and the dates of when the tournament was going to be held is up on the schedule. Mm. And I mean, you guys can see when the Summer Globals are going to be, and that'll be in Sweden. So there is that information there. It's just not, you know, where is it going to be streamed? All that other stuff isn't coming out as quickly as we'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Gotcha. I guess a follow-up to that then, if Reddit and the main site is going to be the main place to go, we keep throwing around the term esports, and I don't know if a lot of people understand that. Like we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and Daryl was even saying how, like, our wives, like, make fun of us for watching this stuff, and it's silly. Is it real? Is this a thing? Is this like what we're doing now, or is this like we're just being some nerds, and in a couple of years this is going to go away and we'll be on to something else?
No, it will not go away. Esports is very much a real thing, and just as an example, League of Legends had more people watching the championship games than people watch the NBA championship games. Like, it's a global event. Mm-hmm. It's huge. Now, with regards to Heroes of the Storm and the question, is it here to stay? That's a little trickier question, because right now, Heroes of the Storm being such a young game, it's nowhere near the global phenomenon that League is at.
Mm-hmm.
So Blizzard is, you know, putting a lot of time and investment and production into these tournaments. There's going to be three this year. We had we have the summers going on right now, the spring just ended, and we have the fall coming up, and then we also had Heroes of the Dorm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're putting a lot of resources into this, and the hope is that the community will follow, that they will respond, that We'll get the fans. We'll get the teams. We'll get things rolling. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the future looks really bright for Heroes. In terms of esports overall, it's, I mean, you have Counter-Strike Go that is huge. You have Dota that is huge. I mean, if you look at those prize pools for those mm-hmm. tournaments, you're talking a lot of money, millions of dollars in some of these tournaments. So esports is a real thing. It's here to stay. And it's probably one of the faster growing industries right now.
You talked a little bit about Heroes of the Dorm. Can you, if people aren't familiar with that, like, I know we live in this world where that's normal, and the people that I interact with know what that is. If somebody missed that, what's the deal with Heroes of the Dorm? If you want to just talk about that for a few minutes, and maybe why something like that is good for the scene and good for the game. And
so Heroes of the Dorm is a collegiate sports event, sports tournament. It has colleges have their little Heroes team, and they enter into the tournament, and they represent a school, and then the schools all play within the tournament. And I believe this year had a ridiculous number. I think it was, I want to say 800. Don't quote me on that. But yes, it was a very large amount of kids looking for a scholarship, a full-time scholarship, because if you win Heroes of the Dorm, you get your school paid for. So yes, there was some very large number of teams that entered. And it is wonderful for the game, because we do need new players, new talent coming into the game. Currently, right now, there's not a lot of incentives for established teams to invest in new players. Mm-hmm. They're looking for short-term returns. So they're looking for the fastest way to get to first prize, you know, to win these tournaments. Because, you know, the prize money is what they need to sustain themselves. So, yeah, they're not going to want to spend their time and resources on people or new talent that are they're unsure about. So currently within the Heroes scene, you'll see a lot of the roster changes being shuffling around of already established and well-known players as they're trying to find that sweet spot of team synergy to try and win these tournaments. So Heroes of the Dorm helps so much because new talent gets a chance to shine. And some of the new talent that we've seen is Oddish, and I don't know if you have heard of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she had a Reddit thread, and even Blizzard replied to it and said, "Hey, Oddish, we'd like to see you stream and check you out," and encouraging her to continue with her career and being a competitive player in Heroes. So that is what we need. We need new faces, new blood, and you need something like Heroes of the Dorm to encourage that to happen. The other flip side is that it brings fans and viewers to the game and tournament when you have something to tie yourself to, that you familiarize yourself with or recognize, like, you know, your school is in the tournament. Well, you're going to want to watch and see how your school does. And so that's very much why this tournament is really helpful, in that it not only brings in new players, but it also brings in new viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think especially with the competitive scene, when you see all these names, you know, not just the big ones like Cloud9, and Tempo Storm, but mm-hmm. you start seeing, you know, Gale Force, you know, all the other little guys that aren't necessarily in the top three
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. They are hard to follow or to, you know, it's just what would make a person want to get involved with these various different organizations or be attached to them. It's just a little harder than, oh, this is my school. This is Arizona State. I know them. I want to watch and see how they do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of why this helps bring in not only new teams, but also new fans.
I had a really good time watching Heroes of the Dorm. We had talked a little bit about it before we started, and it's a different level of play. You can tell there that a lot of them aren't pro players. I felt like I was watching one of my games for a few times, but it's good, and I think it's good for the scene, and it's good to see. You know, you don't watch college sports and expect it to be at the same level as pro play, but it's still like people are heavily invested in watching college sports, and I think this is just a new take on that, and I'm excited that it turned out so well, and that a team did really well, and they won their tuition to be paid, and those guys now have a chance to turn around and push into the pro scene. I think it's just good for everybody all around. Daryl, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I watched the Saturday. I was able to watch a few of the semifinal games. You know, it was on TV for a long time. Like, it was, well, I got YouTube up here. I don't have ESPN. So I was able to watch it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But you know, Saturday night, it was probably 3 hours, so I couldn't just sit down and watch 3 hours of Heroes on Saturday evening, much as I may have wanted to. so I got a couple of the matches though. I think two out of them, I think there was only four. They both ended in 2-0 wins, I think. Mm-hmm. But Sunday I watched, all three matches, and that was cool because, you know, I've done it before, and unfortunately Apple TV does not have a Twitch app. So
oh, really?
Mine doesn't anyway. Weird. I know. Yeah. It is very weird. But they have a YouTube app.
Well, Roku does.
Yeah, I know Roku does, but the Roku's in my bedroom, which was actually nice for the Spring Championships being in Korea because when I woke up Saturday morning that day, I just turned on the TV in the bedroom and started watching without even getting out of bed. It was awesome.
Listen to you, dude.
It was awesome.
You were making fun of this crap. Like,
oh, I know.
You know, not even a year ago.
So anyway, the Roku box, and that's what I've got in the bedroom. So anyway, but yeah, so I was watching it on my 60-inch TV in the living room on Sunday evening, some Heroes of the Dorm. So that was pretty cool. And I was cheering against ASU, actually. Because the other team did really seem like the underdogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was really cheering for them. It almost felt like it was Michael Udall's tournament, the way the announcers talked about him all the time. That was one thing
I noticed. They definitely latched on to
yeah, they did.
He was the captain of the team, and
shot caller.
They had not lost a game that whole tournament.
Well, you know,
it pretty much was this tournament.
You know, with the finals last year, and it was all about Cloud9, but then it turned into, you know, the dunk train.
Yeah,
show,
I suppose.
And,
yeah,
and that was fine. You want a face to put on
true.
It. And,
yeah.
You know, and Michael Udall's family was there, and it was very, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, you're watching American Idol, and they pick this person out, and they show you some of their backstory and their family. And, you know, it was kind of this situation where I think it was a good way to give a face to what they were doing and to make it appealing outside of why am I watching this video game on TV.
Mm-hmm.
What do you what was your favorite part about Heroes of the Dorm, Royal?
The bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won the Esmo dunk bundle, so
I'm so jealous.
Like,
I'm jealous too.
The problem with that, I don't play him that much, but man, that is just so good. I don't know. That may happen.
It was awesome. I don't play Asmodan that much, but I loaded it up today because it just came out today, and they awarded the Asmodunk bundles already to the bracket winners. And so I went into the game with him, and I started picking everything, all the talents for Globe of Annihilation, and I am... you know, putting my camera halfway across the map, and I'm like, I think they're here, and I'm tossing it and seeing so if good. I can get anyone. And I actually had some really good dunks.
Nice.
I killed some people. I was
so
like,
awesome.
That's great. Yeah, it's kind of like when you're playing Tyrande, and you point your owl, and you end up sniping Abathur across the map. It's just such a good feeling, you know?
Nice.
We have skipped around in these questions a little bit, so let me go back to kind of I think where we were going to initially start at. There is a ton of stuff going on in Heroes right now. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? And I know you have tons of involvement. Where are we at right now with Heroes of the Storm?
Well, yeah, you're right. So much is going on. They just released a major patch. There was a balance patch today on Tuesday, mm-hmm. but before then there was a extremely large patch with a new map, new hero reworks, reworking heroes like Sylvanas and Illidan. Mm-hmm. Is Legion around the corner?
Hope so.
Yeah, giving some love to these main characters for Legion. And also a huge feature that was asked for, bans in Hero League. So lots of love to the game in that patch. The new map that came out, I'm sure for some of you who are more experienced hero players might say, I haven't noticed a new map. What are you talking about? The map.
That's the one with the dragon, right? Oh, geez. Cancer running joke between me and Rob.
Oh, really?
Every time we play Dragonshire, it's a new map to Daryl every single time. Oh, I see. I've never seen this map before. But I think it might be the bourbon talking.
So. It could have been the first time. I don't recall playing it. And then the second time, I've never played this before. Yeah, we played it last week. No, we didn't. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Well, there is actually a new map.
Yes, there is. It's called Lost Caverns, and it's an ARAM map. And for those of you that don't know what this is, ARAM stands for All Random, All Mid. Mm-hmm. And it's a special way of playing a map. This type of play actually comes from other MOBAs, and it can be played in Heroes. And the community itself started this up and just said, we want to be playing ARAMs. So if you want to play ARAMs, you could do /ARAM mm-hmm. in-game, and you can join the chat. And this is the game that people are playing. Blizzard saw that people were playing this and said, we'll create a special map so you guys can play this, because maps generally have three lanes, mm-hmm. and ARAM is all mid. You only stay in one lane. So they created a one-lane map called Lost Caverns. You won't see this in the regular map rotation. You have to access it through the custom games. And if you want to play ARAMs, you have to join /ARAM in-game and join up with people to play this map. So it was really cool to see Blizzard listening to the community, mm-hmm. taking notice that they enjoyed this style of play and giving them a map to address that. So that was really cool. The other thing that's going on right now is the 50% XP boost that'll go on to the 18th. And that is in response to the Heroes of the Dorm tournament, sort of giving everyone a, mm-hmm. a free boost community event. Tracers being released on the 19th. For those of you who have bought the Overwatch Digital Collector's Edition, you guys, did you buy it?
Yes.
Yes.
Last week.
I am so hyped to play Tracer.
Me too.
Yes. So, yeah, you'll be able to get early access, but only if you bought the digital one. If you bought it in stores, I'm sorry, you guys are going to be missing out. For everyone else, she's going to be available April 26th. Today, Tuesday, was the balance patch. Lots of things going on for Illidan and KT. The Asmodunk bundle came out Tuesday, and we sort of went over some of these other things that I have here in the notes with, mm-hmm. you know, Heroes of the Dorm, summer qualifiers, and the summer qualifiers are today, Tuesday, and tomorrow, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. You do have one line here about the regionals. Do you?
Oh, yes. Those qualifiers are for the regionals that will take place at DreamHack in Austin, Texas on May 6th. And I'm understanding that Rob's going to go to that.
I have every intention on making that 20-minute drive up into town and using the parking benefits that I have through my work to get a nice, sweet, covered parking place two blocks from the convention center.
Nice.
And going and enjoying myself some regionals at DreamHack this year. And if anybody's interested in going, you should shoot me a note on Twitter, because we can do like a meetup or something and go and have an amazing time.
Yeah, it will be phenomenal. And take lots of pictures for us and post them on Twitter so we can all be jealous about the fun you're having.
Oh, man. I'm so hyped about it.
And then segueing into sort of what I do in esports, I'm with Random CS. We run multiple weekly amateur tournaments for Heroes of the Storm. We have one tournament on Sunday evenings called Next First. This is your traditional tournament with heroes drafting. And then on Thursdays, we have our ARAM tournament, which is Next for Amos. You like the pun?
I like it. I do. Yeah. I love it. Nice. That's so awesome.
Yeah, we had a good time coming up with that name. So if you're interested in entering into either of those, both are open to what we call free agents. And a free agent is a person without a team. You just sign up and we try and match you with a team in either the Next First tournament or the Next Ramus tournament. You can sign up at randomcs.com or you can contact me at Twitter. My name is spelled R-O-Y-A-L-I-T-E. So at Roylite, and just hit me up and say, hey, can you give me the link to sign up and I'll shoot you it.
Well, so you do those twice a week then?
We actually have other tournaments. I was just going to plug those two main ones. We have two with other organizations. Gamespresso, a Saturday during the afternoon. That's a once monthly tournament. And then we also have a all-female team organization called Sweet Synergies. And what they are trying to do is promote women's involvement in esports. They actually have an all-women's Heroes of the Storm team that they're trying to, you know, work through the competitive scene with. And actually, Oddish from Heroes of the Dorm is the captain of that team for Sweet Synergies. So she's involved with that. And that tournament is on Tuesday evenings. It actually went on tonight. So, yeah, we do a lot. And Random CS not only does Heroes of the Storm, we also do Hearthstone, and we are qualified, or I'm not sure the exact term because I'm not on the Hearthstone team, so I apologize to Hearthstone people, but like the championship points.
Towards BlizzCon.
Right, exactly. So we're a tournament that's certified or registered or however the terminology to give out those points to the winner of that tournament. So yeah, that's exciting. And then we also do LOL tournaments, and we are able to give out Riot points for when you play in our LOL tournaments. So we have a bunch of stuff going on for a very broad audience, and all of the tournaments are listed over at randomcs.com, and you can click on them and sign up. There's quite a few. We do a lot, and we're growing, and we're really looking forward to just doing something for the community. I don't get paid. No one gets paid. We're all sort of just doing this for free and trying to have a really good time doing it with everyone else, too.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes, too, for sure, the link there.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
You now, you mentioned, like, the balance changes and, you know, what's going on with Illidan and Sylvanas and earlier kind of, like, you know, playing Lili and getting into that. What's the best way to follow the game at its at its core. Ha ha ha. See what I did there? Like, okay, so the term that everybody uses is the meta, and that's basically you know, which heroes are on top and what the pro picks are and everything. What, how do you even follow that with these constant changes going on?
It is much more difficult to follow than it has in the past. Blizzard was a little slow toward the beginning there about updating the meta, changing the meta.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're doing it, I believe, on a schedule of almost every 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can imagine, that's a lot of changes. It can be difficult to keep up. And in fact, you had the balance patch that dropped today,
mm-hmm.
and you have these pro teams that are trying to qualify for DreamHack having to play with all these changes sort like on the fly,
figure out if JT is any good now. And
Yeah, exactly. So they're struggling to sort of keep up with the two. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it is really great to keep the meta fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to stay on top of it on the competitive level, they really need to dive deep into theory crafting and try and, because these patch notes were released a few days ago. So it's not like it's a surprise to them of what's right. coming today. But they just didn't get a chance to practice with it at all. And it mm-hmm. hit today, and they're now doing the qualifiers. But not only that, I find this question to be like such a trap as well, because depending on your rank, there's so many different metas. Like we were talking about Lili, how great she is at the lower ranks and even at the mid tier ranks, that a lot of, teams do very well with her and can exceed and win and start moving up with her. And then at a certain point, she drops off and you have to start looking at other healers like Brightwing.
I like it.
It's a really difficult question to ask, because it's like, you know, how hard did the nerfs to Illidan, how hard are they today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the changes to KT, he had a bug on him where he actually could free cast, I believe it was a living bomb.
Yeah, the with his trait being infinitely active or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, there was no cooldown on it. Yeah. So you could just cast Living Bomb on everything and then have it explode. And it was like old KT when he was first released. And he was, you know, so OP. Yeah. So it is very difficult to keep up with. But I think that Hotslogs is a great resource. And the reason is people upload the builds that they're doing when they upload the games they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hotlogs and analyzes that, and it'll give you the win rates for each of the talent picks. Generally, after a week after the changes hit, everyone sort of agrees that Hotslogs is pretty good at figuring out the state of things. Now, this isn't something for high competitive play, because again, at high competitive play, the micro that some of the general population has trouble mastering and has a lower win rate with, you know, those talents show up with lower win rates, whereas other talents that are easier to master and easier to win with tend to have higher win rates.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. you do have to. Hotslog is a tool, sort of like, I'm having a brain freeze. I can't remember the log analyzer for DPS and World of Logs.
Warcraft Logs. Ask Mr. Robot. And,
yeah.
Right. Or even DPS meter in game. I mean, uh-huh. just because someone is topping the meters doesn't mean they're doing it correctly. Doesn't mean that they're mechanically the greatest. It just means that person can stand there and hit their buttons correctly, but when stuff comes flying their way, they might not be the best at reacting in time and puts more pressure on your healers to keep that sort of person up who's focusing on their DPS. So hot slugs is a tool. And as long as you realize it's a tool, it can be used correctly and incorrectly. It can be really powerful, mm-hmm. or, you know, it can be, you know, abused and used incorrectly. So,
well, you never know if, you know, Illidan on this pro team took this talent at level 7 because they have an Abathur that took this talent, and, you know, and all the synergy that you right. have no that idea, is, you know. True. So if you're solo queuing as Illidan, that's a terrible choice, but they took it because of what they were planning on doing as a team, you mm-hmm. know, in a whole different setting. So it's kind of hard to sometimes understand why certain talents are picked at a certain level, or, you know, people want to emulate what they see the pros do. And they picked Murky and they did this thing and it was amazing. Well, you're probably not going to be able to do that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certainly that. And there is also on the flip side where one set of talents is just the only build to go and is mm-hmm. so overpowered. You know, but Blizzard tries to prevent that. They try. They're not always successful,
yeah.
but they try. You know, I think KT and his Living Bomb build is probably like a great example. You know, there was pretty much one build you did on KT and that was all you did. Mm-hmm. And I think currently, I don't know about now since the patch came out, but Friend or Foe was the must-go-to talent for Illidan. And so Blizzard likes to try and adjust talents to make sure you start picking other things. Mm. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it, though. I really like this development schedule that they're on with the more frequent balance patches and the willingness yes. to just get in there and shake things up a little bit. And, you know, it feels like you always feel like the changes you want are never coming. Like, you know, I've been waiting for Arthas changes for forever, you know, they're coming. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is like legendary. He's like one of the, probably the, I'm going to say probably the most iconic character in the world of Warcraft, right? And you go over to Heroes of the Storm and like no one even picks him and he's kind of bad and he looks kind of old and sad and, you know, it's like, you're like, I just want him to be amazing, you know? But the schedule that they put out and everything, you know, I guess starting with the new year, right? Starting with 2016, once everybody came back from Christmas break, all of a sudden it was just like these balance changes and all this and this, like,
yeah.
And I'm hoping that they can stay on par with that, because now it's kind of set a precedent and it's exciting and I look forward to it. And, you know, KT was awesome, but, you know, he may be brought down a notch and who knows what it's going to look like. And it helps, you know, when we're watching these esports matches, it's not always the same thing over and over and over, you know, mm-hmm. finally moving away from that stun meta, it feels like is a good thing. I like that. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and I also wanted to say, I don't know if it's either overwhelming or reassuring. And what I mean by that is reassuring that things are changing so quickly that not everyone can keep up with everything and be on point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when someone says, oh, that's a absolutely terrible talent or choice or something, well, that might not be 100% correctly, because if they just balance the hero, you know, people aren't sure how that performance necessarily is. They have mm-hmm. maybe a gauge, but, you know, so I think it might be reassuring for people who have stepped back from heroes and then try and get back into it. It's kind of like, well, at least all the people at the lower and mid levels are still figuring it all out themselves. Mm-hmm. The pros, you know, come to it a lot more quickly. The higher competitive level, they figure it out. And then it sort of comes down the ladder. But, you know, and then I don't know if it's maybe overwhelming by, okay, I really loved Brightwing. And I don't remember exactly when she got her rework, but let's say she got her rework 6 months ago.
Right.
So okay. I played before she got her rework Brightwing. when she was bugged, and she would, do extra healing herself. She was near unkillable. And then you come back and you play Right Wing after her rework, and you're like, what hero is this? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people who played Right Wing before her rework could do a lot of great things with her. And then after her rework, she's a very high skill cap healer right now. She's not very forgiving, and you have to know when to phase shift in and shield someone and when not to. And you have to get your position in to try and hit people with miss. She's not like Lily that you can hold down Q and expect to keep everyone up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's reassuring or overwhelming for people coming back to the game. So I would love to hear from those types of people. So you can tell me on Twitter at Royalite. Let me know for you returning players if you find this reassuring or overwhelming.
I think it's daunting, but it's the game itself is so easy to pick up and play that even if you're, even if you are a rock star with ETC and he's different now, it's still the foundation of the game is still there, and it's still, the talent system is what it is. And if you're the type of person that plays a different hero every match anyways, then you're probably really not going to be like top tier at any one of them. I guess that's kind of where I fall into. I played so many different ones that I'm not really, I'm like okay with most of them, but not really good at any of them. But it's fun. That's what I'm playing it for, is to,
yeah, exactly,
to have that fun level. So I don't know. It is what it is. But yeah, send Royal your feedback for sure.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from people, see what they think.
What are you looking forward to the most for 2016?
All right, so this might be a little difficult to explain, but I'm gonna try to. So for people who aren't familiar with Heroes Esports and the competitive scene, what happens right now and what was happening before is when you do your draft, you use a third-party website, and that's typically heroesdraft.com.
Mm-hmm.
We recently got bans in-game. However, on the competitive level, they don't want individual drafting. They want a team draft. And what I mean by that is currently when you select your hero in the in-game drafting system with the bans, you are locked to that hero. And yes, you can choose the draft in any order. That doesn't really matter. You're still locked to the hero. Competitive teams at the very end of the draft want to be able to reassign their team members to different heroes. And they're right, used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though in-game bans and drafting is there, we're still not using it in the competitive scene. We're still using a third-party website. So I'm really looking forward to having a in-game system, because a third-party website causes an enormous amount of headaches for people who run weekly tournaments like myself,
or
for any organization that wants to run a Heroes of the Storm competitive tournament. The website throws errors, it lags out, it sometimes picks random heroes. It causes a lot of problems, and then you get two teams who are trying to use Heroes Draft, and then they suspect the other team of foul play. You didn't like how this draft is going, so you're saying the website is messing up for you so you can get a redraft, And so that, as admins, as you can imagine, this causes a lot of headaches.
Well, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to a system that can be all in the game, where there's a team draft that our tournaments can use, and that we will no longer have to use Heroes Draft or any other site like it.
You like to hope that that's not very common.
How do
the,
you?
The the kind of the shenanigans, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it probably is more of an issue than it should.
Yeah. Heroes draft actually has gone down for a couple of our tournaments, and we had to use alternative sites like Top Drafter, I think, is one of them. So it's problematic. And it ends up, when you have problems with the websites and you're trying to draft, a draft on a third-party website on average takes about 10 minutes. You have to share links, you have to get them in, we do the map drafting, and then we do the heroes draft, and then you have to get everyone in-game and in a lobby. So, jeez, like I said, that whole process takes about 10 minutes, and if you have problems with the website, that extends into 15, 20 minutes sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then the tournaments run a lot longer than they should. We try and wrap up things before midnight. And then when it starts going past midnight, these guys are tired. You know, a tournament can last a long time. It's sometimes like an endurance from the first round all the way to the finals. So, it would just ease so many headaches, so many time problems if everything was in game. So I'm hoping for 2016, that's something we can bring to the game. Would really help us out a lot.
Awesome. I agree. Sounds good.
Well, yeah, it should be there, right? So it makes sense that it should be there.
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't realize that it was a problem until I was told about it from the players, and an admin of another tournament explained, because I was like, what's wrong? The in-game system is there and you can do any order you want, so it should be absolutely fine, you know? And they were like, no, after we complete the draft, we want to be able to shuffle our heroes around the team members as we see fit, so we don't want to go to the in-game system. We mm-hmm. want the third-party system. That's a huge issue for us. Otherwise, drafting becomes a lot more complicated for these teams when you lock them in like that. When mm-hmm. They decide that ETC in the last spot would be a great counter to what the other team had drafted. And so they pick ETC. Well, they just lock that ETC on their support player, you know, but their support player, they were planning on doing something else, but this was what they needed to do at the end of the draft. So it is what it is. So I look forward to getting rid of the third party websites.
Well, yeah. I mean, you especially, who put in all that work behind the scenes to put on these tournaments and these weekly, you know, multi-weekly events. It's just so much work.
Yeah.
Well, was there anything else that you wanted to go over before we started wrapping it up?
Just to plug Nexverse and Nexframus again, and guys, really consider signing up, especially Nexframus. As an ARAM tournament, it being random, it really is random.
Like, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's we've had pro teams come in with their managers. It wasn't completely a pro team, and they got knocked out in the second round, and it was because they got really crappy heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the team of free agents, people that just sort of came together that night, were able to knock them out because they got some really powerhouse heroes. So it ends up being a crazy fun event. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, even after we lost, I didn't feel bad about it. I had a good time. And
good,
sometimes,
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when you play these more traditional tournaments, it ends up being like very try hard. Like, we got to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel like it's all on yourself for either doing the draft wrong or doing the rotations wrong or having bad strategy, having bad mechanics. You just start to put it all on yourself. But with Nexramus, it's like so wild and crazy that, you know, at the end of it, if you lose, it's like, ah, I just got a bad hero. You know, it's yeah. no big deal. It ends up being a lot more fun.
So that is the best way to do that is randomcs.com or yes. to hit you up at Royalite on Twitter.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's the plan.
Awesome.
All right.
Joe, you have anything else?
I don't think so. Yeah, no.
Well, all right. If you guys want to send us an email, the address is theshow@trainingdummies.com. If you have anything else to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, please feel free to leave us a voicemail or join our Discord server at thetrainingdummies.com.
Why isn't my button working?
Oh, there it goes. Fate has brought
us together. You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
I'm starting to get worried my soundboard turned itself off. I'm like, come on, go, go. All right, Rob, what do you got for shoutouts?
Thanks to our raid team for letting me, I have not switched mains, but I have really, really hit a wall with, being able to actually, get any more gear, do anything else with my monk. So I've been tanking on the DK and it's been a while since I've done that and it's fun. And, you know, we still went in and killed all the same bosses that we always kill. And it's been, pretty cool. And, thank you, Royal, for coming on, and I really appreciate you. Just coming and taking some time to talk about heroes and esports and kind of this whole world that the people may not be aware of or missing out on. So,
well, thank you for having me.
Daryl, what do you got?
Everything you said.
What he said.
Pretty much. Yeah. Shout out to the raid team as always. And special thank you to Royalite for coming on the show this evening and talking to us. So thank you.
Royal, do you have a special shout-out?
Yes, I want to thank you guys so much for having me on. This was a lot of fun. I love talking about heroes. I could do it all night. I want to give a special shout-out to my husband. He does a lot of phenomenal work with graphics and design for our streams of our tournaments and for the core rapport. He's just a really big supporter of me doing everything and really just a great help. And he's on the staff of Random CS too. And I also want to give a shout out to my guys at Random CS, Tony and JD and Mike and Nate. We put on so many tournaments in a week, and the reason we can do that is we are such a great team. So I do want to give a big shout out to them, and I love working with them. And again, ending on you guys, thank you for having me here. It's been a blast.
Yay. All right. Well, before we put a nail in this, Royalite, where can people reach you if they have any more questions? I know we've mentioned it a couple times. We'll give you one last chance here to plug that.
Yes, my Twitter at Royalite, R-O-Y-A-L-I-T-E. I follow back. I enjoy talking to people about heroes, and I enjoy throwing in some crazy bright wing role play. And so definitely hit me up, and friends be healed.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 124 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.